For the first time ever, I am coming your way live from Singapore. We've got some hot topics to discuss with your help today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it is 2 in the morning here in Singapore. I am set up with my high-tech portable radio equipment in my hotel room, hopefully not waking the entire hotel. We are live from Singapore. Just uttering those words makes history for the Line of Fire broadcast. We've come your way from India, from Italy, from Israel, from other countries. We've come your way from all over America, and here we are. 12-hour time difference. It is Thursday morning here in Singapore. It's the same number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Back in the States, Matt, Johnny, Betsy, poised to make this a high-quality broadcast. We're going to jump in on latest news. I've got some fascinating things to share with you. And if you could remember to pray for me while I'm here, that would be terrific. After the broadcast, about 4 hours after the broadcast, hopefully get some good sleep again and then get picked up to speak at a national conference of the Assemblies of God. Then I'll be speaking at a key church over the weekend. We'll be speaking at a pastor's conference next week, several hours shut in with youth pastors and leaders, a key lecture on policy issues, and then preaching at other key churches the following weekend. So can't wait to give you some updates and reports from Singapore. By the way, little quiz for you. Singapore, is that the name of the city or is that the name of the country? And the answer is yes. It is the name of the country and the city. It is one place. It's a beautiful tropical climate. It has the lush equatorial vegetation, but it is very new and modern in many ways. A lot of tech money has come in here over the decades, so a lot of beautiful new buildings and remarkably clean place. You may have heard stuff talk about, you know, don't spit out your gum in Singapore and things like that. It is known for law and order in many ways. And when you're filling out the customs form, I put a picture up on Facebook. You're filling out the customs form. I remembered this when I was here in 2000. I was curious to see if it was still there. And there it is in red on the back of the customs form. Warning, death for drug traffickers under Singapore law. They want to make it plain. They are not playing games when it comes to drugs. And I would surmise, take an educated guess, that drug abuse issues are far lower in Singapore than in the United States. This is their policy. Warning, death for drug traffickers under Singapore law. In red, the rest of the customs form basically in black. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to ask you a question today. A bunch of other news things we want to discuss, but I want to ask you a question. I don't know if you follow, but Adrian Peterson, NFL running back, who has been charged with child abuse because of a violent spanking of his son. He's not married to the mother of the child, but he was taking care of the child and called and said he kind of overdid it a little bit, whatever. Grabbed a switch, a branch or a piece of tree or something like that, and beat the kid severely enough that he had some, I don't mean injuries in terms of life-threatening injuries, but he had some clear injuries, and even one of the times the thing went around and hit the kid in the front and the sensitive parts. So he is actually charged. He's charged with this. Now the question about corporal punishment is coming up. Should we spank our kids? Is it right? Is this a primitive, barbaric practice? Is it biblically based? Should we learn a lesson from this and step back from it? What do you think? 866-348-7884.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Adrian Peterson is off the field again. The Minnesota Vikings issued a statement early this morning saying the team has been in conversations with the NFL over Peterson's case for the past 2 days. And the league informed the team of the option to place Adrian on the exempt commissioner's permission list, which will require that Adrian remain away from all team activities while allowing him to take care of his personal situation until the legal proceedings are resolved.
Hey, nicely done clip there with the NFL music, Matt. Michael Brown, coming away live from Singapore every call that comes in today, being our first time ever broadcasting live from Singapore. Again, we've broadcast from a number of other countries, but this is the first time ever broadcasting live from Singapore. So every call that comes in is part of our history making today. That was Dean Reynolds on CBS this morning. And of course, I wonder just about the other issue of, I thought you're innocent until proven guilty, so why would the NFL have you sit down? I understand the idea that you want him to be able to concentrate on the legal issues. I'm sure he would tell you, hey, I can play football and take care of the legal issues at the same time. I don't know how time consuming those would be. So that's not justifying what he did. No way whatsoever did hitting a kid with that severity be justified. I'm simply asking a secondary question, very secondary. 866-34-TRUTH. My deep appreciation to Dr. Alex McFarland for filling in for me on Monday as I was traveling to Singapore. Left my house about 7:30 in the morning Monday, then flew to Dulles in Washington, D.C., and that's, an hour-something flight. I planned just to sleep on that flight, but ended up having a great conversation with the gentleman next to me and ended up to a real clear opportunity to witness, share the gospel with him, even pray for him before we got off the plane. And then from there, I get to Dulles, and everything went wrong. It was one of the craziest, most ridiculous booking, ticketing, mess-ups. Just one airline switched me to another airline, and then that led to another issue. They ended up having to hold the entire flight waiting to get the paperwork resolved to get me on, with my luggage waiting by the plane as to put it on. This is for a 14-hour flight to Japan. And then it was crazy. That's sufficient to say. Maybe one day I'll tell you more of the story. And then Japan, and then I'm there for, 3-hour layover, and then 7-hour flight to Singapore. Got into Singapore 1 a.m. or so yesterday. Had a restful day. Got some writing done. If you didn't read my latest article, please go to AskDrBrown.org and click on latest article. It is about did Jesus really die as a substitute for our sins. Let me read something to you before I go to the calls. It is by Matthew Paul Turner, special to CNN from September 16th, Adrian Peterson and the False Gospel of Spanking. By the way, I'm saying September 16th, September 17th instead of days of the week because I'm totally confused about days of the week. It is Thursday morning, 2:11 a.m. in Singapore, and it's 2:11 p.m. on the East Coast of America the day before. So Matthew Paul Turner says this: there's one detail about the Adrian Peterson child abuse charges that no one seems to be noting. His alleged crimes didn't happen simply under the guise of parenting, but rather Christian parenting. But the NFL star's Christianity shouldn't be missed or undervalued in the sharp debate about his actions. Those of us who grew up in conservative Christian churches know all too well the culture that shapes the parenting beliefs of people like Peterson. We have books about spanking. Popular Christian talk shows promote the benefits of spanking. Pastors preach and theologize spanking. Organizations like Focus on the Family offer parents resources about how and when to spank. And of course, we know, spare the rod, spoil the child. Proverbs And the even more strong statement, you know, you'll beat him with the rod, he won't die. Well, you could easily take that to mean you beat the kid, right? so what do we do with that as followers of Jesus, as those who revere God's word as God's word? How do we apply these things to us today, to spank or not to spank? That is the question. And are we hurting our kids more if we don't spank them? Maybe a spanking in a proper context or done in a proper way or within proper parameters will save our children from later, more severe trouble? Or could you justify anything based on arguments like that? I've got a bunch more audio clips to play for you, some other news and relevant items we're going to talk about today, but let's go to the phones. Okay, in Boston, Massachusetts, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Brown.
May I ask what country you come from originally?
I'm Nigerian.
Okay, that was my hunch when I saw the name, and it also gives context to the cultural background you have. So please, go ahead, sir.
Yes, definitely. And that plays into it, too, because spanking is the most natural way of raising a child. Most cultures spank. It's only in America that for legalities and things of the sort, it tried to reason that out of place, and they say spanking is not good. Spanking is actually very good for kids. I have four children, and I spanked all of them because you don't do it out of anger. The thing we should be talking about is how to spank, not even whether we should spank or not. Because spanking, whether you are Nigerian or Haitian or from Germany or from India, from any place else, is the most natural way of raising a child. But what happens is that some people abuse it. My father was a well-known spanker, but he did it, I think, one of the best ways you could imagine. The child doesn't know it at the time. We just know my father spanks, and he did it not out of anger, but he would actually ask you to go bring the spank, and he would wait. And he doesn't spank you out of anger, but he gave you what he thought was appropriate. And in my family, we have all kinds of, educated people that are doing well in life, because it takes discipline, and discipline calls for spanking. Even God spanks us. He spanks us not out of anger, but spanking is a sign of correction. When people get it, they will understand what it is supposed to do. It's not supposed to hurt a child. I know some people spank out of anger. Even my teacher in school spanked me out of anger, and I came back, I told my dad. And my dad did not like that, even though he
But just one question. So in the Nigerian school system where you were raised, the teachers could spank the children?
Yes. And if they spank you, you'd even be happy that they didn't tell your parents. Because if they told your parents, their parents might spank you again. You see? So, just like if you were a child outside and you did something wrong, that parent has the right to spank you. Don't even tell your parents. And you'd be begging, please don't tell my dad.
Now, what do you think happens, in your opinion, to children who are not spanked?
The children who are not spanked, and let me say this too, because it's not every child that might need spanking, but let me say also, most children need spanking because children are stubborn. I'm a Christian. I happen to be a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, and we know that, we should train up a child in the way in which they should go, but I know I have four children, and they are not all the same. One is very stubborn, while one of them is very, very, compliant and would ask you things. But, I have a daughter. She would do things her own way because I don't know if it's the first child syndrome or whatever it is, but she's strong-willed. So yeah. Sometimes you have to break a child, break her will without breaking her spirit. It's all of that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me just jump in just because I've got a break coming up in a moment. But you laid out a lot of principles there, not doing it in anger. You also mentioned bringing the whatever is used to spank. So should someone use their own hand, or does that instill fear about the hand? You spoke of breaking the will, not breaking the spirit. and that every child's got to be treated differently. Let's see what others have to say. But thank you, dear brother, for getting us started. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, real quick, for all of my friends listening in greater D.C. on our great station, WAVA FM and WAVA AM, just a very, very quick note. The controversy about RG3, your quarterback, having to turn his no Jesus, K-N-O-W, no peace, or no Jesus, N-O, and then N-O, no Jesus, no peace. He had to turn it inside out for a press conference. First, I'm glad that he's committed to professing Jesus and he wore the shirt. According to reports, it had nothing to do with the religious content, but that it was not a Nike item, and you can only wear Nike items. But if you're wearing a suit and tie, is that Nike? Wait, I'm confused now.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, before we get back to the spanking question, America's globe-trotting homophobes exposed, put on notice by new HRC report. A new HRC report shows an industry of anti-LGBT hate being exported all around the world. And I, yours truly, get a dishonorable mention, along with Matt Staver, Dean of Liberty University School of Law. We get dishonorable mentions. Jordan Seculo gets a full mention. Alliance Defending Freedom gets a full mention. Leader with Concerned Women from America does. What kind of garbage nonsense is this? Industry. Oh, yes. Some of the folks they mention in the report have budgets in the tens of thousands of dollars. Oh, quite an industry. Oh, yeah. Like the industry that paid me nothing to go to Peru. And we supplemented the ticket price to get down there to share with congressional leaders and university chancellors. Here's what it says in the report. They spew venomous rhetoric, outrageous theories, and discredited science. The report is called The Export of Hate. I posted a picture in the page with Matt Staver and me pointing out that the report is as accurate as the artwork. These are the worst depictions. I mean, they got the fact that I'm a male with a mustache. That's about it. But I'll probably write on this the next day or two as I have opportunity. Coming your way live from Singapore here in the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What a ridiculous joke, though. Boy, oh boy. Here's some of the venomous rhetoric I spewed in Peru. We're not here to incite hatred against any group of people. Some of the finest people you know, family members, friends, co-workers, may be gay or lesbian. We're not here to criminalize behavior. We simply want you to know in society the consequences of normalizing homosexual practice and redefining marriage. The ones spewing hatred, misinformation, are the ones like HRC. Talk about an industry. They have a budget of more than $45 million a year. Ah, 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, they didn't quote money when it came to me. Exactly. Interesting, Anderson Cooper insinuated that spanking in African-American culture comes from a culture of fear due to slavery. That's why they spank in Africa? That's why they spank in India? That's why they spank in other countries? Oh, boy, oh, boy. And that's why white Americans spank? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Samantha. We're going to go to Samantha. Let's go to Florence in Connecticut. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you today?
Doing very well. Thank you.
That's good. I think that we should spank our children. The Word of God says that we should. The Word of God is not a lie. No, it's the truth. It's what we believe in, and it's what we live by. It's what we teach our children. So how could we omit such, you know, a big part of it? And even the Word of God said, God chastises those that he loves. he chastises us, you know.
Florence, let me ask you this. God can chastise us without physically hurting us, right? In other words, he doesn't chastise us, say, by, you know, he doesn't spank us with cancer or car wrecks if we're his people and we love him and are seeking to serve him. But he does definitely cause us pain in certain ways. So,
right, he allows things to happen to us. Mm-hmm. Usually stuff that we bring upon ourselves.
Yeah, but there are certain things where God takes action and it does cause us difficulty or take something from us in order to teach us and train us. Since the Bible doesn't put limits on this, is it simply a matter of common sense or could it lead to abuse?
Well, it could. I believe it could lead to abuse. I'm a mandated reporter. I'm a nurse. I believe that, you know, you should never spank your child when you're upset or angry. You know, mm-hmm. at that time, we sometimes can take things overboard and the anger basically takes control of you. But I believe that we should spank our children out of love, because if we don't spank our children, society certainly can spank our children. The police can spank the children down to the ground, if you want to portray that as spanking. If we let them get so out of hand where they just don't have any type of limits or boundaries in their life, this is the future that would be for them.
Mm. So in other words, it's a compassionate thing to do with the long-term well-being of the child in view.
Yes, I believe that it is. And I believe that, you know, just like today when we say the name of Jesus, it's like now, like you said, witchcraft or something. Everybody turns around and looks at you like you're an alien if you even name the name of Jesus in public these days.
Mm.
Same thing with spanking. You know, that's why they have all these agencies that, you know, say that it's not okay and put all these limitations on how to spank the children. You know, and I just believe that as parents, we love our children for the most part. I don't believe we're
going to
kill them.
Got it. Yeah, so certainly every one of us is concerned about child abuse. Florence, as a nurse, you would be. But there are a lot of ways to abuse a child outside of spanking. And we spanked our kids. Thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. We spanked our kids. Our older daughter needed to be spanked much more than our younger daughter. Our younger daughter would show no resistance whatsoever. And then after you spanked her, she would fall in your arms crying and you hurt my feelings, she would say. It was very hard for us to spank. Our older daughter would be screaming and crying before she was ever touched. And trust me, she didn't get beaten. And we don't love her as much because we spank her more. And you know, all the standard things a kid would say. She appreciates the way she was raised. She appreciates the discipline that she got. She has subsequently thanked us, in particular thanked my wife, Nancy. But obviously, this is a fair discussion to have. In Sweden, years ago, the government outlawed spanking, and one leading church said, we're going to spank. We believe it's right, and we believe there's biblical principle behind it. Again, there are right and wrong ways to do everything. The Bible does talk about acting in anger. The Bible does talk about violence. It speaks against those things. The question is, what backlash is there going to be? Or is this some of the players saying, hey, you know, this is the way I was raised. Yeah, it may have been a little severe, but I think it helped me a lot. So I do want to hear from you. Remember, we continue. Those of you who leave us at this hour, we continue for another hour and a half. You can listen online by going to AskDrBrown.org and just click on Listen Live. Okay, while I was away in Singapore, I told my team, you come up with a special offer this week and just tell me what it is while I'm traveling. And they shocked me, and it's an amazing offer. It's my book, Revival Answer Book, which will talk about awakening and how to discern. End of the American Gospel Enterprise, that'll stir you and give your heart for revival in America's future. And my Holy Desperation Message with postage of $45 value, $15 postage paid. That's two-thirds off. Grab it. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or AskDrBrown.org. Run on the homepage.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the line of fire. To spank or not to spank, that is the question today. 866-348-7884. Johnny, let's listen to what Jerome Felton of the Minnesota Vikings, Adrian Peterson's team. Adrian Peterson, again, one of the best running backs in the NFL, almost broke the single-season rushing record, popular player, but he's now been charged with child abuse for spanking his son in an overly violent way, something that would bring you potential charges of child abuse. We're not talking about spanking the way most of us would think about it, but perhaps it's spanking the way some of you experienced it and you say it was good for you. So this is Jerome Felton, Johnny, clip number three. Let's see what he had to say about his teammate.
I'm from the South, so, you know, I probably got a little worse than that growing up, but, you know, I guess people have different opinions, and, you know, you'll have to judge for yourself, but, yeah, I've obviously probably had it a couple times, and, you know, I'm from the South, and that's maybe it's a little more common down there than up here. I mean, I feel like I'm a better person for it. You know, I had direction out of my family. My mother cared about me a lot, and, you know, I know people that didn't have parents that cared, didn't discipline them, and turned out a lot different than I did, so... You know, it's a personal judgment, and some people like it, some people won't. So that's just on them.
All right. So there he is saying he's better for it. Parents that didn't spank their kids, those kids were worse for it. What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Kevin in Landover, Maryland. Welcome to the line of fire.
Hello.
Hello, Kevin. You're on the air.
Kevin. Yeah. I wanted to totally agree with the gentlemen, your first caller from Nigeria, where he had talked about all cultures spank, and is very much shown in the Bible, because I am a Christian, that it is part of God's discipline. You know, so we're, as us being imitators of God, you know, it's just natural that we spank. The problem lies where you spank in anger, and when I came up, my father, with six children, I believe spanked us with anger. So when I was old enough to have my son, one of the first things I put on his mind was that I loved you. And every day of his life, I told him that I loved him. So that when it moved into an era where I thought he needed to be disciplined, I asked him to put his hands out, and I slapped both of the palms of his hands. And he cried once in a while, you know, but then after that, I would explain to him why I did it, you know, based on what he had done. And I'd have to say, in his whole life, he's now 28, in the Air Force, he's got his own family, I probably had to go farther than spanking him on his hands, maybe less than five times. You know, I can count on several fingers because of the fact that I was disciplining him in love, and I wanted to break the cycle, which I felt was abuse, as I came up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we talk about Adrian Peterson, I believe he might have gone a little too far because he spanked his children in anger. Because when you spank your children in love, I don't believe you're going to leave the kind of bruises that he left.
Yeah, or Kevin, just to add to that, it may not be an anger issue as much as maybe that's the way he got spanked when he was little, and he thought, hey, this is the right way to do it. Maybe he just got carried away, or it could have been anger. Plenty of parents do things in frustration, but one thing is that spanking done properly, where you're affirming your love for the child and hugging them afterwards and explaining why this is done, is a way not to get violent with the child. In other words, rather than let things get completely out of control and then someone slaps them in the face or something horrific like that. All right, we'll be right back. 866-34-TRUTH.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
He can call it an expression of love. There are very religious families who love their children and say, we are going to withhold medical treatment because our religion demands it. That's not an excuse. Just because you think it's the right thing to do.
All right, that's Jeffrey Toobin, CNN legal analyst. I've appreciated some of his analyses recently on other issues and agreed with them. But to connect withholding medical help because of religious beliefs with spanking is quite an unjustified jump, to be totally candid, all respect to Jeffrey Toobin. What about parents who are non-religious and because of their non-religion don't hold to certain moral standards and maybe think it's fine for them to smoke pot around their kids, and now the kids end up smoking pot when they're 7 years old? Of course, plenty of non-religious parents don't feel that way. But, I mean, that's the point. You make these ridiculous jumps. One more clip, then we'll go back to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's listen to what Anderson Cooper had to say. This is on the Anderson Cooper 360, rather. This is a Reva Martin clip number six, Johnny. This is another attorney. Let's hear what she has to say.
To hit a child, to use corporal punishment in any form is abusive and long-term scars. We used to not wear helmets when we rode bikes. Women used to smoke when they were pregnant. We used to send our kids to segregated schools. So there are lots of things we did 20 and 30 years ago that we now know are hurtful and harmful to kids that are no longer acceptable. So as we've evolved as a society, we know more. So we are called upon to do better with respect to how we raise our children. So we know better. We have the data. We have the statistics. We have the studies that confirm that there are long-term psychological, emotional scars from hitting children. So that we can't bury our heads in the sand on this one. We have to accept that data, accept the harm that's done to kids, and just stop hitting. We tell five-year-olds no hitting. We criminalize assaults by adults on other adults. So we can't accept an adult hitting a child when we don't accept an adult hitting another adult.
Oh, wow. I'm not doubting her sincerity, and I'm not sure what studies she's referring to, but if you've been spanked, did it leave long-term emotional scars on you? I know lots of people who were spanked, and they've never said any such thing. I could have been spanked more by my parents. I was hardly ever spanked in my life. But I remember one time that there was a building, there was a house that was being built in the neighborhood where we would live for the summer. We lived in Manhattan at that time, but we'd come out there in the summer onto Long Island, and there was a house that was being built, and my father had told me never go into a house that's being built. Obviously, you could, you know, I was 4 or 5 years old, and obviously, you know, I'd be out with some friends. And these are the days we go up and down the block just with kids and things like that. You didn't have to be under constant parental supervision. I may have been with an older friend, but we went into this house. And when my father found out, I remember with real regret that he took a belt out and put me over his lap and spanked me. And I just remember that he had sternly warned me not to do it. And then I defied him, and that it was a bad, dangerous thing to do, and that I could have really been hurt if I did it. I easily could have fallen, hurt myself, fallen on something deadly or serious injury because the house was under construction and you could fall anywhere. I remember it was a very positive thing. I guarantee you it left no lasting scars in me. To say, well, look, we had segregation. Well, come on, we knew segregation was stupid and wrong. Oh, some people justified it, but that was just based on fear and other issues. To compare these, oh, boy, oh, boy. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Matthew in Falls Church, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. I think there's a misconception on the scripture of what the rod means. I mean, if we look at the scripture that talks about that Yeshua will rule the nations with an iron rod, that's doesn't mean he's going around and beating the nations with an iron rod. What an iron rod means, or a rod, it means fair justice. It means to have justice and leadership over your kids to teach them right and wrong. So with a kid that's 4 years old taking a switch and beating them, he's not learning anything from that. Now, an older child might learn something from that. So it's God's calling us to show fair, righteous leadership and judgment and, to our kids, and to instill that into them.
So that well hang on. When right it says wrong. That Jesus is going to rule with an iron rod, it does say he's going to shatter his enemies. And then Proverbs says, for example, a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. Whoever spares the rod hates his son. By the mouth of a fool comes a rod for his back. The rod of foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, but a rod of discipline drives it far from him. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. So it's clearly not just speaking metaphorically here.
Well, I understand that too, but it also is referred to like when Esther came before the king, he extended his rod out to her.
Well, that's a scepter, right? But hang on, you have to understand that. Okay, so if we spank a kid, does that mean we're extending a scepter? No, I appreciate the point you're making. I think the biggest issue is age appropriate, and wisdom in what we're doing. Of course, we are to teach equity and fairness and justice and rightness. But one way that's done, according to Scripture, is with a physical rod. But thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's try again. Samantha in Boston. Hope we got you this time.
Yeah, I'm right here.
All right, you're on the air.
Well, I agree. I think that he should have spanked the child. I don't believe that he should have used so much force. But I do believe that when you spare the rod, you spoil your child. And
Were you spanked growing up?
Actually, I grew up in foster care, and I was brutalized in that place. And I'm actually going through something right now. My daughter has been taken away because I spanked her and left a handprint on her butt. And so I personally know where he's coming from. But you should be spanking them out of love. And I believe that it's the Western civilization judgment
mm-hmm.
that persecutes us.
And Samantha, just a question, because you mentioned something very personal and serious. Was there any injury to your child in terms of being taken away from you, or just the accusation of...
I did. I left a handprint on her rear end, so the accusation was child abuse.
How long was the handprint there?
Maybe a couple of days. Actually, a relative was the one who called DSS on me.
Seriously, and this is your own child.
This is my own 7-year-old daughter, who it has been cussing. Who does not behave. And finally, I actually, maybe 3 years ago now, I became a Christian. And, I've been avidly reading my Bible. And I said, you know what, this has to help, because the Lord said it would. So I did it.
And a relative report. And your child, where is your child now?
My child is actually now living in a group home while I'm fighting feverishly against the state to prove that I'm a fit parent.
And this is the one and only charge that there was a handprint on your daughter's bottom.
There was several charges. There was abuse against the child, abuse against a family member. But I've actually beat the case, thank the Lord.
Wow. All right. So, I mean, yeah, I'm Samantha, I'm so sorry to hear that. But that's quite a wake-up call, isn't it? If everything is exactly as stated... That's quite a wake-up call, leaving a handprint for a couple of days on a child's bottom, 7-year-old that had been cussing and other things, and the kid is taken from you? obviously we want to protect kids and there's real abuse out there, but whoa. All right, God's grace and best in that situation. Stay with us, friends. We've got a bunch of you on hold, but stay right there. And I'll probably continue this conversation into the second hour. I have a bunch of other things I want to discuss with you as well. 866-348-7884, live from Singapore. Hey, if I didn't tell you I was coming away live from Singapore, would you notice any difference whatsoever? Would you know that it's 2:47 in the morning where I am here? Yeah. Pray that I get some good sleep when the show is over.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
To spank or not to spank, our question in light of the Adrian Peterson NFL case, 866-348-7884. Okay, I looked into the RG3 thing, the Redskin issue in the NFL, saying he had to turn his T-shirt inside out. One thing pointed out, one report or numerous reports, that the issue was it wasn't a Nike shirt, and that's why he couldn't wear it. But then people wear jackets, ties, suits, all kinds of other outfits. Those aren't Nike. Ah, but the issue is you can't send a personal message on game day. So, hey, got to crack down on those personal messages, especially if they're about Jesus, right? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go back to Boston. Val, you're on the line of fire. I understand you're originally from Bolivia, so I'd love to get your perspective on the spanking question. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dr. Brown. I'm originally from Brazil.
Brazil, okay.
Yeah, I grew up, I get spanked by my father and my mom, and I remember that my mom, she was really tough. And she used to spank me and my brother when she was angry. And, it was very tough back then. So when we moved here, now I have a 6 years old, and I got to be honest with you. I spanked my daughter when she was a three months old baby. She always cried every time we go sit down in the church. And one day I took her outside and I say, sweetie, that's what happened because you're crying. After that, she never cry again, you know? And I do believe that I correct my daughter before. Last time I spanked my daughter was like a year ago because I asked her to not go in the park on the monkey bars because I don't want you to get hurt. And she did, and she got hurt. And 2 days later, after she was a little better, I say, listen, Daddy's going to have to do something with you and in your life. And she's like, yeah, Daddy, I know. Because I disobeyed you and I got hurt, and it's for me it's a life change because my father used to hit me and my brother really bad when they after work. So if I come home after work and my wife say, "Listen, she did this," and you know I don't like it. I told many times and she did it. I go take a shower and I relax a little bit. I come over and say, "Listen, honey. You disobeyed mom and daddy, and you are going to spank her now because this." And that really helped because now she is sixth, first grade, and yesterday we have a parents meeting in the school, and the teacher came to us, and she's like, I wish I have another 25 kids like your daughter because she is very respectful. And I do believe that if my children do not respect me, they will not going to respect the system.
They won't respect authority, teachers, others like that.
I do believe that, you know?
Yeah.
And when the teachers say, when I say, let's line up, she is the first one in line, and the other kids, they don't want to obey you, the teachers say.
Yeah, and the way you've done things is not in anger, not reactionary. In fact, you're making sure you didn't do things the way your parents did. Dear brother, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to All right. Let's try Beth in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Did you say Beth?
I said Beth, and that would be you.
Okay, because it made a sound instead of my name. But anyway, this is truly an international show today, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
in fact,
you're where I would normally be, and I'm in Singapore, so go ahead.
Well, and my comment is also from Africa. One of my sons has a dear friend who grew up in Kenya, and when he came here to the United States to go to school, he was shocked because of the way kids behaved.
Yeah.
And he said where he grew up in public, anybody could discipline your children.
Well, so, you know, Beth, what's interesting is I've had older Americans tell me that in the community where I grew up, the parents knew each other, the families knew each other, and if you did something wrong, then any of the parents could spank you, that it was just understood. And you say, well, that's crazy. Well, I would take those neighborhoods and the respect in those neighborhoods and the crime rate of those neighborhoods compared to some of our neighborhoods today.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it's interesting because something referred in one of the things I read referred with this NFL player referred back to Texas. And I lived in Texas for a time. And when I went to the grocery store, in the back pocket of my jeans, I would have a wooden spoon. I mean, completely, you could see it. Of course, other people would be wearing their guns, you know, in public. But I would have my wooden spoon in the back pocket, you know, just completely seen. And, you know, just I had two boys and I would just say, you know, don't forget that's back there. So anyway, and they didn't get, you know, beaten beyond repair. But they knew that if I said no, that's what I meant. No.
Now how old are they today?
They're in 31.
Okay, so they have kids of their own.
Yes. Yes.
And do they spank them?
One's a baby. The two one has two boys, and yes, and it's funny. It's just funny when it's your well, you know, you have grandchildren when it's your grandchildren.
Anyway. Oh yeah, listen. Yes. I've never spanked my grandchildren. That's one of the perks of being a grandparent. But of course, you're the hero to the grandkids.
No, I don't mean I would spank my grandchildren. But once you have grandchildren, you know, it's just like, oh, do you think you need to?
Oh no, exactly. No, I knew it right. Exactly.
You're the judge advocate.
too sweet and innocent. But yeah, absolutely. It's so interesting that is if the kids are raised right and raised with a healthy respect and good discipline, that it's a positive to them. It's not some wounding, terrible thing. Hey, thank you for the call. Friends, if you missed it a half hour ago, normally I'll work with our team. We'll think of special resource offers for the week. This time I said, hey, I'm going to Singapore, and we had not specifically laid things out for the week. So I said, just do something. Well, I was shocked when I found out what the offer was. On their website, it says normally $35.15. No, it's actually normally $45. Two books, two of my most important books on revival, End of the American Gospel Enterprise. It is a short, clear, boom to the heart, stir you, awaken you, and give you promise of revival for the future. Talk about American history, too. That book and the Revival Answer book, which talks about how to discern and what's really God and what's not. And then my Holy Desperation Preaching message on a CD, $45 value with postage, $15 postage paid. I don't know how we're doing it, honestly, but that is two-thirds off the regular price. Get as many sets as you want, but call now to take advantage of this. 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to the website, AskDrBrown.org. And please pray for me during this trip in Singapore. My bottom line today, well, the teaching of Proverbs is very clear on this, and the consensus of callers so far is that spanking, done rightly, is a right thing to do and in the kids' best interest. For the first time ever, I am coming your way live from Singapore. We've got some hot topics to discuss with your help today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Some outdated form of child abuse. What in the world are we talking? What in the world is right and wrong when it comes to this? 866-348-7884. In fact, before I play audio clips for you or anything else, let me go straight to the phones. And we'll start in Huntersville, North Carolina, with George. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, George,
yes, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes, sir. I just wanted to make a couple of points. I'm 56 years old, born and raised in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I concurred with the lady, one of your previous callers, who said that, you know, there used to be where in a community that there were other people other than your family members that could discipline you, that could actually, you know, give you a spike. And I remember that, you know, growing up, there were times in the summertime when we didn't even, you know, close our door. I mean, you know, we had a screen door, and the screen door was latched, and we could sleep, you know, all night, you know, without anybody breaking into a house or whatever. That was the sense of community. And, and I concur also, too, with something that Charles Barkley said.
Hey, George, hey, stay right there. We'll be right back. We'll talk about this on the other side of the break. Hey, friends, sorry for that musical assault. At least it was good music. We'll be right back. George, I want to hear what you have to say.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so if you haven't heard the case, coming away live from Singapore, it is 3:07 a.m. here. Got a full day of ministry, so please do pray for grace. Get a few hours sleep before I go back out. And in the NFL, there have been lots of issues with player violence, domestic violence, most recently with Ray Rice, one of the top running backs in the league, very popular player. Now Adrian Peterson, an even more revered running back with the Minnesota Vikings, has been charged with child abuse for the way he spanked his son. Now, I find it interesting. 866-34-TRUTH, to spank or not to spank, that's the question. Is this now some outmoded form of child abuse that we justify, or is this a good godly thing to do with biblical precedent and a great track record through the centuries, if not millennia? But charges are being made, hey, look, this is just a Christian tradition. It's just based on the Bible, and it's primitive, and it's wrong. Of course, I'm still trying to figure out with the NFL, since he's not been proven guilty yet. Maybe he admits to, well, he did admit to this, said he went a little too far. I guess he had tweeted that out or told his girlfriend or whatever. But the fact that he has children out of wedlock, not condemning him for it, but you hardly want to say he's doing things because of what the Bible says when he has kids out of wedlock. But either way, a discussion that we should have, and a fair and important discussion. In the previous hour, we heard from people from different nations, callers from different nations, including and a woman from Boston who said that her 7-year-old daughter, who was disobedient, cussing, and so on, that this woman's only been a Christian 3 years now, that when she spanked her and there was an impression of her hand on her child's butt for a couple of days, that her a relative reported her, and her child has been taken away from her right now and is being raised in a group home. Wow. All right, so George in Huntersville, North Carolina, just before you get to your second point, you talked about the community that you were raised in and the fact that any adult basically could rebuke a child or even discipline a child, spank a child in the community, and yet you slept at night with screen doors and the doors open, and you didn't have to worry about somebody breaking into your home. So quite a difference in terms of crime rate then and now. You obviously attribute that to the respect for adults and the respect for authority that was there in the culture?
Yes, I do. Because, you know, we as children growing up in that community, we knew. I was, my mother and father lived in New York, and I was basically, in my early years, I was raised by my grandparents. And, you know, and I remember one particular time I was about maybe 3 or 4 streets over, and me and my little buddies, we were just having a good old time and just loud and just acting up and everything. And this elderly woman came out on the porch, and she looked at me and she said, "Aren't you Sally Washington's grandson?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Now, you know," she said, "you know better than that." And she said, "I'm going to call your grandma." Well, that was, you know, I mean, you know, you had that, and you had that respect. For the adults. And so, you know, and I attributed that. I remember, you know, not having to worry about, you know, people breaking in or doing all sorts of things. And I remember something that I heard Charles Bartley said, that he said just about every black kid that grew up in the South has been whooped by a switch. And I remember the few times that my grandmother had to discipline me, I had to go and get my own switch. And you know, and she told me years later, she said there was a reason why I did that. She said, because you were thinking about the act of disobedience all the way going down the hill to get that switch, and you were thinking about it all the way coming back up. And, you know, and when I would bring that switch back into her, and she would explain to me, she said, you know, I don't get any pleasure in doing this, but she said, but I have to train you and let you know. You know, and you know, and she would quote scripture, and I mean, you know, and I knew my grandmother loved me, and so it was because of, you know, that discipline that, you know, I attribute, you know, to where I am today. I have my oldest son; he's 38 years old, and I would never discipline them in anger. And my grandmother always taught us. She said, never use your hand when you discipline a child. She said, because that the child will equate that hand. Mm-hmm. You know, she said, always use something as switch, or like your father did when you went into the building you weren't supposed to. He used the belt. And, yep. You know, and so, you know, and I think what it is, society, we want to run away from the Word of God as fast as we can. You know, we have gotten so enlightened that the Word of God has become old-fashioned, and, you know, God is an old fuddy-duddy sitting, you know, on a throne somewhere, and he's just waiting for us to mess up, or he's so outdated. And I think that we Christians have to realize that this is a sign of the time. And, you know, and it's, you know, and society is doing all that it can do to undermine the Word of God.
Yeah, what's interesting, George, I really appreciate your perspective, everything you shared and the way you shared it. And I agree with all the principles you laid out as well. But when I look at this, though, I can't help but say it's not just a matter of being concerned about child abuse, which every civil human being is. And I can't just think it's a matter of, well, the Adrian Peterson instance has showed us how widespread this is. The fact that scripture is brought up, the fact that African-American communities, which will have more of a scriptural tradition than sometimes other communities that they're focused on, it's definitely, to me, a larger gospel issue. I don't mean that spanking is associated with the gospel or is sacred, but because it's a biblical principle, it is an attack on larger issues. So thank you, sir, for weighing in. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to David also. I was going back to Massachusetts yet again. All right. let's listen to a little more commentary on this. This is an unnamed anchor on CNN. This was from earlier today in terms of the Vikings banning Peterson. Johnny, let's go to clip number one. Again, this is from earlier today on CNN.
It's a stunning reversal. Star running back Adrian Peterson benched again. The Minnesota Vikings announcing just hours ago that Peterson will be required to remain away from all team activities until his legal proceedings are resolved.
All right. Now, again, I just in principle, I am not in any way justifying the way that the child was spanked. We never spanked our children that harshly, okay? And obviously, my assumption is he didn't mean to leave that kind of damage on the kid. Thankfully, no lasting physical injuries or anything like that. But the question is, still in a court of law, isn't he innocent till proven guilty? And can't he? I know the NFL is concerned about image, and it's very concerned about image because it has lots and lots of issues. I mean, after all, there's a lot of violence, not just within the league, but
in a statement, the Vikings ownership now says, after further reflection, we have concluded that this resolution is the best for the Vikings.
All right. I think we're having some problems with our board there. Wow. Not sure what is going on. Sorry for these glitches. And just tell you, it's not on my end here in Singapore. It looks like something funny happening just with our board, and we're doing our best to get everything back on track in our studio. But, yeah, we're not going to go to that clip yet. But I'm sure Adrian Peterson would say he'd rather be playing right now and then work on the legal issues, and then if he's found guilty, fine. But let's go ahead and listen to clip number two, again from CNN News.
In a statement, the Vikings ownership now says, after further reflection, we have concluded that this resolution is the best for the Vikings and for Adrian. We want to be clear. We have a strong stance regarding the protection and welfare of children, and we want to be sure we get this right.
Fully agreed. Fully agreed. The question, again, is simply this. In terms of what is right and wrong, in terms of articles being written now, saying here, for example, one I quoted from a little bit in the first hour, Adrian Peterson and the False Gospel of Spanking by Matthew Paul Turner, who's the author of Our Great Big American God, A Short History of Our Ever-Growing Deity. He talks about the false gospel of spanking. He says this happened under the guise of Christian parenting. Again, how Christian is the parenting if the kids are born out of wedlock? That's a separate story. He says we have books about spanking. Popular Christian talk shows promote the benefits of spanking. Pastors preach and theologize spanking. Organizations like Focus on the Family offer parents resources about how and when to spank. The ties between Christianity and corporal punishment are so strong that a large number of conservative Christian parents simply deny studies that suggest spanking does more harm than good. What's your experience been?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Coming your way live from Singapore, it looks like we have corrected the things on our board that malfunctioned in a very, very rare way. And eager to hear what you have to say. Were you spanked as a child and in a way where your parents did it lovingly and not in an angry outburst and not so as to leave lasting injuries of any kind? God forbid anyone would advocate anything like that. Did these things help you or hurt you? What about raising your own kids? I'm not sure what studies are being referred to. I haven't seen references. I've heard people refer to them, but folks have spoken about studies that indicate that spanking the children does more harm than good. What type of spanking, under what circumstances? Those are all questions that I haven't seen answered. But again, I'm not familiar with the studies in question. 866-348-7884. Just a moment ago, I looked on Facebook to see some of the comments, and I saw one gentleman with incredulity saying, did I just say that it was all right for a grown man to spank a young child or hit a young child with a belt? I referred to one of the only times my father had ever spanked me. I definitely could have been disciplined more growing up, not less. The one specific time, maybe one of two, but the one specific time that I remember being spanked, I was definitely under six. I could have been five. I could have been six. I could have been four. But I blatantly disobeyed my father, who had told me not to go into a house under construction, obviously because of potential danger, because of falling, hurting yourself, nails, all these things that you could get seriously injured with. And I did it anyway. I forget if it was with my older sister or with another friend, but when he found out about it, I remember he had real regret. I remember that well, that he had real regret, that he put me over his lap and spanked me, and he used a belt to do it. No, he did not. I doubt that I had even anything you could see 2 hours later. In other words, I didn't get welts. I was not beaten. But it was the way it was done, the removing of his belt, the seriousness of it, made me understand this was a dangerous, stupid thing to do, and he was out for my best interest. And I bet some parents using their hand to spank their child hurt them worse than my father did. But the seriousness of it, look, I remember it. You know, I remember it, and it was a good and healthy thing. All right, let me switch over to a couple of other subjects of interest. If you didn't read my latest article, it is, Did Jesus Really Die as a Substitute for Our Sins? It ties in with a debate that I did in Kansas City with Pastor Brian Zahn, and that was aired live. There was live stream. Then we had the crowd that was there. And then, of course, it's online for folks to watch today. According to Pastor Zahn, the idea that Jesus died as a sacrifice for our sins, that God in any way punished Jesus for our sins, makes God into a monster akin to a pagan deity. And others have said this is cosmic child abuse. And Pastor Zahn said, yes, it's Jesus' blood that washes us clean, and he did die for us, but the idea of penal substitutionary atonement is a very wrong doctrine. So we had that interaction, and I wrote an article, just had it on my heart when I got into Singapore after about 30 hours of travel, had a good night's sleep, and then today had some time to write and wrote this article and another article that's going to come out tonight around 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on the WND.com website. And that article is entitled, Are We Living in the Last Days of Bible Prophecy? So check those articles out. I think you'll find them very helpful on a scriptural level. And the one, again, did Jesus die as a substitute for our sins, is available online now. Can you give me the number online? AskDrBrown.org and just click on latest article. All right, here's a question I want to throw out for you. And we'll get to this in the next part of the broadcast. Here's the question. Right now, in Syria, ISIS continues to have dominance over certain territory. And, of course, in Iraq has large portions of the nation under its control. There are differences in terms of the numbers of combatants with ISIS. Initially, we were told 10,000. Now we're told maybe 30 or 35,000. Nonetheless, they have financing, organization, and terror behind them in terms of some of their effectiveness. We have bombed them, some in Iraq. We want to bomb them more in Syria. Bashar Assad of Syria has not been cooperative in terms of us fighting against them in his airspace. On the other hand, they are enemies of Assad. In the meantime, it's estimated that most of the, 200,000 killed so far in the civil war in Syria have been casualties under Assad. In other words, that he has been guilty of most of the deaths. Complex situation, but we see the slaughter of the Americans, of the British, 4 beheaded so far in broad daylight before the camera by ISIS. We've seen those shot in the head one after another, soldiers, Iraqi soldiers, Christians being beheaded, murdered, raped, kidnapped. Should we send ground troops in? If the only way that we can really put down ISIS before it grows out of control and commits atrocities far worse than Al-Qaeda ever did, should we send ground troops into Syria and back into Iraq to fight against these radical terrorists? Should we arm others in the civil war in Syria fighting against ISIS? Or is it just arming one bad group of rebels against another bad group of rebels? 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. Okay. While I was away, I said to our team, you just set up this week's special offer. Set up the special offer, whatever you want it to be, and I'll see it later as opposed to being part of the process. Well, I was a little shocked to find out what they did. They actually are giving you a $45 value. The website says $35 for $15. Postage paid. Two-thirds off. My book, Revival Answer Book, really important book on revival and discernment. My book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise, had a lot of fire in you for revival in America. And my Holy Desperation CD, normally $45 with postage. Today, $15, postage paid. It's not a mental typo. That's accurate. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. All right, so we're switching from child spanking. We actually talked about that almost the whole first hour. We had so many calls. We asked a few to stay over into the second hour. Switching subjects now in the second hour, as it is 3:30 a.m. in Singapore, by the way, just before we get to an extremely serious subject. just a funny thing on this end. All right, I was going to sleep, at like 10 o'clock in the evening here in Singapore. It's 12 hours ahead of Eastern Standard Time in the States. So I was going to sleep at 10 and setting my alarm to get up at a certain point, setting my phone alarm to get up at a certain point before radio because it's the middle of the night here, all right? And then after this, hopefully in a little while I'll be able to go back to sleep for a few hours before I go out and teach through the day until dinner time. So I set the alarm and it's like off by 5 days. Like, what? Oh, I got the wrong day. It took me 3 times to get the day right because I didn't realize that it's Thursday here and because it's Wednesday there. Anyway, head screwed on straight. We've had a great broadcast, lots of great calls, and a really serious issue now. If you have military background, if you fought in Iraq or Afghanistan or previous war, if you had a family member fighting, family member currently in the military, if you have a strong opinion about our war in Iraq or Afghanistan, I'd love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. Do we send troops into Syria? Do we arm the Syrian rebels? Johnny, let's go to clip number 9. I want to hear first from General Martin Dempsey, and then after that, we'll go to clip 10, Senator Joe Manchin, or is it Mankin? First, General Martin Dempsey, clip 9.
My view at this point is that this coalition is the appropriate way forward. I believe that will prove true. But if it fails to be true, and if there are threats to the United States, then I, of course, would go back to the president and make a recommendation that may include the use of U.S. military ground forces.
All right, so that's one proposal. And Senator, is it Mankin or Manchin? Anyway, I apologize for mispronouncing it, M-A-N-C-H-I-N. I see so many things in writing, and then I'll just hear clips, and I often don't hear names pronounced, so my apologies. He does say, the senator, that he's not in any way supporting Syrian President Bashar Assad. He said, I think he should be gone, but as long as he's able to remain there, he's fighting the same people who are asking people to train. That we're going to spend $500 million makes no sense to me. I can't sell it. You can't sell the stuff, and no one believes the outcome will be different. This is a Senate hearing regarding strategy concerning fighting against ISIS. Clip number 10.
Only thing that I know that we're short of is that training and those weapons will probably be used against us at some time in the future. If everything that's happened in the past, we took out Saddam, we thought that would change. Iraq's in worse shape. We've taken out Gaddafi, we thought that would change. It got so bad in Libya, we've had to pull out our own embassy and our people in our embassy. I'm not supporting any way, shape, or form Assad. Think he should be gone. But as long as he's able to remain there, he's fighting the same people that we're asking the people to train to fight that we're going to spend $500 million. Makes no sense to me, and I can't sell it. I've tried all my... You can't sell this stuff.
These are really difficult questions. It's not just someone's warmongering and someone's a pacifist. Difficult questions. Obviously, we need to deal with ISIS. It's like a serpent that's reproducing and growing and wants to kill you. Do we send ground troops into Syria, back into Iraq? How should we take action? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
Fire we please. Send the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast, our first ever broadcast live from Singapore. So where have I broadcast from so far? Not across America. We've been in many places with our, sometimes using other studios and sometimes with our high-tech remote equipment. Let's see. Broadcast live from India, live from Italy, live from Israel, live from Hong Kong. Not sure where else. Trying to remember. Anyway, it is my joy. First ever live broadcast from Singapore. And thanks so much to my wonderful guest hosts, Alex McFarland, guest hosted on Monday, and had a number of special guests joining him, and my longtime dear friend and colleague, Scott Volk, who also had special guests joining. That was the first time ever that he hosted the broadcast. And of course, Alex, as a radio host, did wonderfully well. And I've heard reports that Scott did terrifically. So glad that we got to expose you to these great hosts taking my place. Dr. Frank Turek is also going to fill in one day, and the rest of the time I'll be coming your way live from Singapore, 866-34-TRUTH. A couple of questions we've put out today, and I'll tell you, as far as the significance, they're two different worlds, but relevant. One, a local story in the States about spanking. Anderson Cooper insinuated that spanking is big in the African-American community, having to do with slavery and fear. Of course, he's got to know that spanking exists in African culture and in Indian culture and other cultures. It's got nothing to do with slavery. Africans did not spank their kids centuries ago because of the slave trade centuries later, obviously. But we've talked about that. Is it right? Bible does talk about it. Should it be done today? How so? Does it leave lasting scars, or is it for the benefit of the child? Now, interesting, our phones were jammed the first hour. We even kept calls coming into the second hour from the first, and every single one was positive on it. Every single one said, done rightly, it's for the child's best interest. We've also put out a second question moments ago, and that has to do with dealing with ISIS. And look, I understand. I do understand the issue of if we arm Syrian rebels to fight against ISIS because the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right? You know that theory. Then aren't we combating really bad guys against really, really, really bad guys? And then the ones that we arm, don't they then turn around to use those arms against us? Can we surgically remove ISIS without doing this? And in the sake of justice, in the sake of mercy, for the sake of mercy, helping those who are innocents dying, do we get involved with troops on the ground back in Iraq or in Syria? And didn't matter to us that there were 200,000 casualties in Syria and horrific suffering. Several million, I believe, have left Syria. Lebanon is bursting at the seams with Syrian refugees pouring into Iraq and elsewhere. How come we didn't act when it was Syrian children being slaughtered and Syrian Christians being slaughtered? Maybe there were enough videotapes? Oh, listen, I believe we need to do something. I absolutely believe we need to do something. Should we have done something earlier? Very difficult questions. Before we get to that, let's just take one more call regarding spanking. Tina in Dallas, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Tina.
Yes, you're on the air, Tina.
Hi. I am a member of the African-American community, and I think that spanking is not just an issue that we see in the African-American community. I feel like without some type of discipline, this country is fostering lawlessness. Now, in wake of the Michael Brown shooting and the Trayvon Martin shooting, if we don't discipline our children, the state or the government is going to discipline them for us, whether it be right or whether it be wrong.
I feel like they need to have, and we all need to have, some type of discipline. And without that discipline, that's where you find people that don't have respect for authority, people that don't have respect for leadership. We live in a country where this is the only country that's able to speak against its president openly and publicly. So we need discipline in this country. And I thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah, and let me just say this, Tina. I appreciate that. I think the reason that you have the discipline of spanking, I never thought this was an African-American question. I mean, the thought never dawned on me when I read about Adrian Peterson. To me, parents all over spank, and Christian parents all over spank, and non-Christian parents spank. And it's in many different cultures. So to single out African-American community, maybe there's been more of a biblical tradition to do it, or maybe a tradition that carried over more from African ancestors and parents. But I never thought it was an African-American issue. No, it's simply an issue of, is it a good way to discipline, and is it a good thing to do? And yeah, I think done rightly, done in a way that's not anger, outlash, and or just a lashing out of anger, and done in a controlled way, absolutely healthy, good. But of course, every child's different. Some will never need to be spanked. Some will need to be spanked frequently. Most of those who end up loving God are really thankful for it. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. All right. If you want to weigh in, I don't want to get into a massive discussion about the Middle East. But if you do want to weigh in on the issue of dealing with ISIS, if we can stop them by sending in American troops, is it worth doing? If we can basically render them ineffective so that they will not grow into a global terrorist force, is that a worthy investment of our men on the ground in combat, or putting men and women in harm's way? By the way, my family activist colleague, Lori Higgins, in the Illinois Family Institute, wrote an article today called The Ray Rice Mess and Women in Combat. And she talks about the point that people are not justifying what Ray Rice did, even though his then fiance, now wife, Janae, threw the initial blow. Hey, doesn't matter. He's a man. And she came after him. Doesn't matter. He's a man. And, you know, he's strong. He's an athlete. You don't do that. Well, she points out that the critique is that men ought not punch women, even if women initiate a physical altercation. The larger point, which should be obvious, is that men and women are inherently and fundamentally different. So Lori says, why would it be permissible for a man to respond to a physical assault by a smaller, weaker man with a punch, but not to a physical assault by a woman of similarly smaller stature and strength, or even to a woman commensurate in stature and strength to the man assaulted? If, as a society, we largely agree that a man should not respond with physical aggression to an assault by a woman, what are the implications for women in combat? If there are no differences between men and women relevant to combat, perhaps the military will create all-female combat divisions, would at least mitigate problems related to sexual tension and privacy modesty. Women who object to a proposal for the creation of all-female combat divisions should be asked for their reasons. Because the real, though not always measurable, differences between men and women, if my son were serving in combat, I would much rather him serving with all men. Lori says Ray Rice's actions were despicable, dishonorable, and rightly condemned by all decent people. One obvious good has followed in the wake of this ugly story. The serious problem of domestic abuse is being highlighted. Now, to just jump off her story and to go back for a split second to the Adrian Peterson issue, to compare his, Ray Rice's, violence towards his then fiance Janae, knocking her out with a single punch, to Adrian Peterson's abusive spanking of his son, and then to draw from that a larger critique of spanking in general is not a fair thing to do. In other words, what Ray Rice did is one thing, reprehensible. He agrees, admits to that, of course. And he and his wife are seeking to move forward. Adrian Peterson absolutely went too far. But I believe him when he says he didn't intend to hurt the child. Maybe he was disciplined like that. So one in the more severe category, another bad, because it's a child, very, very bad, but not on that same level. And then finally, to jump from there to healthy spanking of a child is completely unjustified. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, I mentioned this in the first hour. I'll come back to it when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, you know, I've been put on a few lists by gay activist organizations and those who work closely with gay activist organizations. The Southern Poverty Law Center, which law professor, criminology professor Mike Adams dubbed the Intellectual Poverty Law Center, used to be highly respected for their work. Today, some of what they've done is deplorable, inaccurate, and deplorable, and even one case led directly to an attempt of mass murder by a demented gay man who wanted to kill as many people as he could at Family Research Council and traced his activity directly back to the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate group list. Well, I made it on their list of 30 new leaders of the radical right. Oh, yeah, that was, trust me, when I got news of that, I was literally rejoicing. It gave me a burst of joy for the night because of the absurdity of the charge. I was being slandered for righteousness. But they put me on the list along with former Black Panther leader Malik Zulu Shabazz, a former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, David Duke, and neo-Nazi skinheads and others, along with some solid Christian leaders, David Barton, Lou Engel, Joseph Farah. We were on that list. Then I was put on the GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian, used to be called Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. I renamed them the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. Now they're just called GLAAD with two A's. They put me on their Commentary Accountability Project, where they told networks not to have me and others on because we would hurt people with our views. Oh, yeah, that's why I nicknamed them the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement. So now the HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, the world's largest gay activist organization with a budget of probably well over $45 million at this point, they've put out this mini book, 26 pages of something, Exporting Hate. People spreading vicious lies about gays and lesbians so as to cause violence against them around the world. So who cares about facts? Who cares about accuracy when you can spread venom like that and now people will believe it? Yeah, that, by the way, that's the only concern I have, is that people believe this nonsense, and people you want to reach believe nonsense about you. And you may even have law enforcement agency or the FBI believe this kind of nonsense, but so be it. We'll do what's right in either case. But I got a dishonorable mention for my trip to Peru. And I want to just share a couple of things when I said when I was in Peru. And let me just pull this file up here as I am talking to you. But when I went to Peru, and this was broadcast live on national television, my comments were not hidden in any way, shape, size, or form. But when I opened my comments there, I was asked by congressional leaders and university chancellors and others to speak to them about what's happened in America with the redefining of marriage and the normalizing of homosexuality. This is what I was asked to address. And You will not find a syllable of hate in the entire presentation. You will not find a syllable of misinformation. How can it be misinformation when you talk about factual things that have happened? And moreover, I went out of my way to speak graciously and lovingly in every way and to declare plainly that I was not there to incite hatred, that I was not there to and I'm just looking for a couple of specific. Yeah, I mean, even the notes I laid out, I was not there to demonize anyone. I was not there to incite hatred against anyone. I went out of my way to say that gays and lesbians could be devoted to each other and to raising kids, and that some of the finest people that the congressman or university chancellors or others knew, family members, friends, coworkers, might be gay or lesbian. The question was, do we want to redefine marriage based on the sexual desires and romantic attractions of a tiny percentage of the people? Do we want to redefine the family based on that? And what happens on the larger scale when we normalize homosexuality? Well, all that being said, to be categorized as inciting hatred and spreading misinformation with my trip there, of course, is a lie. It is a lie. Matt Staver was also on the same dishonorable mention page. By the way, it is the worst artwork. I mean, really, really bad. The only thing they got right about me is that I am a male with a mustache. Matt Staver, who's the dean of Liberty Law School and leads Liberty Counsel, is one of the finest Christian attorneys in America, standing for righteousness. He looks like he got punched in the left eye. Just crazy artistic depiction. So I posted it on Facebook and said the artistic depictions are as accurate as the report. But Advocate, the flagship gay activist publication, now advocate.com, as well as a print edition. I imagine the print edition is still around. They say the HRC has put us on notice. No, what they've done is expose their own bigotry, expose their own bias, expose their own hatred, expose their own discrimination against people of faith and conservative moral values, and potentially incited hatred and even violence against others. One gentleman on the list has already said that they could easily be inciting people to violent acts based on the rhetoric and misinformation. In any case, Jesus said, rejoice when you are spoken against, lied about for the gospel. So again, I consider it a privilege and an honor to be lied about once more and misrepresented. And I'll probably, God willing, as I have time, get an article written here in the next day or two. Listen, friends, my team set something up without bouncing it off of me. Normally I'm involved in the resource offers for each week as we think through what we can make available to you. So they did something I'm happy with, but it's kind of over the top. The website says $35 value. It's actually a $45 value, but you get this entire package for $15 postage paid. That's less than it would cost for one of the books with postage. You get my book, The End of the American Gospel Enterprise. It's a short book. Stir your heart for the potential of revival, even revival in your own life. You find out about American history, it'll stir you. Then the Revival Answer book about revival and discernment. And then my message, Holy Desperation, on CD. $45 value, $15 postage paid. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, 1-800-278-9978, or go to askdrbrown.org. It's right there on the homepage. My bottom line today, even the issue of spanking your child has become an occasion for people to mock and attack the Bible. Is anyone surprised?